Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. The Friday before Mother's Day in 2011, we had Dave Isay on to talk about the book Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. As many of you know, StoryCorps is an oral history project designed to document the fascinating lives of everyday people. That spring, my mom, Carolyn LaDuc, turned 70 and retired, so I copied the StoryCorps model and aired some of my recorded conversation with her.
When did you and Dad decide you wanted to adopt, and how did you know it was the right choice for you guys?
We decided before we were married that we would like to have some more children, and that our first one had to be a girl, and so we went almost immediately after we were married to the adoption agency and said, we want a baby girl. And lo and behold, my lovely daughter came to us a few years later.
I'm not pointing a microphone at you, so you compliment me, Mom, but I appreciate it.
Since that conversation in 2011, my mom has been through a lot. She survived a heart attack in October of 2011 and was diagnosed for the second time with breast cancer in late September of 2012. She has recently finished two extremely trying rounds of chemotherapy and should begin radiation soon. This Friday before Mother's Day, today, I wanted to share a new interview with my mom. I started by asking her to tell me about where she lived when she was growing up.
We lived in our grandparents' house. We had an apartment upstairs. There were four children and my mother and father in a very small apartment. As a matter of fact, it was so small my sister and I had to sleep on a bed in the living room. But we enjoyed it. My grandparents were downstairs. My grandmother made such wonderful food. We could smell it all the time, and she always had an extra cookie or some goodie to give us after school. We had a lot of playmates in the area, so there was a lot of other children to play with. I don't know. It was just a good childhood.
And what did my grandparents do to support the family? What did they do for a living?
My mother and father ran an upholstery shop, which was across the street from the house that we lived in. When I was 10, I went over and started working there myself to help them out. I did simple things, but I helped.
And you learned how to do it, though. You can upholster.
Yes, I did learn how to do it, and I actually have done some upholstering on my own.
But you never did it for a career?
No, not for a career.
But it was still sort of like a family apprenticeship almost.
Yes, really, because my brothers, they both did some work there too.
And when I was a kid and Grandma and Grandpa lived next door here to our house in Saranac Lake, they still did upholstery, even though they were old, really old.
Yes, my folks had retired and moved down to their farmhouse, which had been my father's dream for so many years, and they had finally got it. But they continued to do upholstery in their house. They had a huge living room, so there was always somebody's upholstery there getting done. And they did that for quite a few years. I think my father was like 80 before he stopped doing it.
Oh, at least, I think. Well, how old was he when he passed away?
93 when he passed away.
Yeah, I bet he did it until he was in his mid-80s. You grew up in Saranac Lake, where you still live. You've lived in other places, of course, but you grew up here. After high school, what did you do?
I went on to college in Plattsburgh, and I did 3 years before I married my first husband and dropped out. Shame on me.
But you did go back to college when I was in elementary school.
Yes. When my youngest child, Jennifer, was a baby and went to kindergarten, I decided it was time for me to go back to school, and I went back to school to become a nurse. And I became a nurse, and that came in handy because by the time I got my RN degree, my parents needed some care so that they could stay living in their home. So I did that for several years. And then I retired from that, and I decided I wanted something where I would be around healthy people and not sick people and needing care all the time. So then I started my other careers, which were what?
You worked at the grocery store. You worked in the deli at the grocery store, and you worked at Stewart's for a while.
Yes, I did. I went to the deli because the lady there that was the manager in the deli in the store was so nice and so friendly, and I thought, boy, it would be nice to work with her and see people, and because I like seeing people. I like to visit with them and see how they're doing and talk to them, and I got a lot of that at, the deli. But then I got to be manager myself, and then it got to be too many hours. I was gone. You know, the help wouldn't show up, and I'd end up opening and staying till closing, which was a long day, you know. I still had family at home. Still had to take time to cart my daughter around to auditions and rehearsals and stuff at that point.
Auditions mostly for high school plays. It didn't make it sound like I was attempting professionalism. I was just a kid.
Well, okay. Well, anyway.
No, yeah, you did. You have to drive me around
a
lot.
And I retired from that job. And I thought, well, that's the end of it. And then my neighbor who ran the Stewart store in our town kept telling me that I needed to go to work for him because he needed somebody like me to work in his store. So I said, okay, I'll go work part-time there. So I did. And again, I enjoyed meeting with the people, seeing them. You know, it was a fast-paced job, and my part-time job turned out to be mostly full-time job. Mm-hmm. But I did that for a little over seven years. And then I retired from that.
That's right, when we talked last time, when you retired.
But then from there, we opened up our Moonstone Farm and Forest store. So I'm still working at this ripe old age.
Of 72.
Of 72.
I want to ask you to tell one of my favorite family stories about your parents, about my grandparents, and their movie theater life.
My parents are such sweet people. They were such sweet people. And they went together for several years before they actually got married, although they weren't that old when they got married. But my dad was 6 years older than my mother. He worked for my grandfather, my mother's father. So I guess that's probably how they got to know each other. But because they lived in Saranac Lake, and Saranac Lake had mostly for entertainment bars and not much else that they would want.
It was in the Guinness Book of World Records for most bars per capita at one point.
Yes, it was. It was really bad.
No, or good, depending on your perspective.
Well, true. But they weren't drinkers. Right. So they would go to the movies all the time. All the time. They'd go out on their date and they'd go to the movies. That would be it. So they saw a lot of the old movies. And they saw Gone with the Wind. And that was the last movie they ever saw, because then they got married and they were no longer dating, so there was no longer any need to go to the movies.
So silly.
But they were a wonderful couple. They were very much in love, and they had 63 years of married life together, I believe it was. 63 years.
But it's just so funny that the last movie that they saw before they got married was Gone with the Wind.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it could have been anything.
Yeah. But they liked it. My mother really liked that movie.
Oh, good.
She had fond memories of the movie.
And then never went to the cinema again.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, we went to the movies all the time. As kids, we went every Saturday. It was wonderful.
Was it like a nickel or something?
Well, it was 15 cents, and then as I got older, it went to a quarter. But the candy bars were a nickel, you know. Can you imagine? But and you got so much for your money. You got newsreel, you got cartoons, you got previews, you got a serial thing, like either on space aliens or cowboys, it seemed. One or the other was always going. And then two full-featured movies. So, you know, you could spend the whole dang day there, which we often did. Because we didn't go to the bars when we were kids.
You didn't go to the bars at any point.
Not really. I did a little bit.
You have been to a bar.
Yeah, I've been to a bar too, yes. And of course, I couldn't drink much of anything because as my kids say, I could get drunk smelling a bottle cap. But I've never been very tolerant of alcohol.
I do want to talk about the last couple of years. We've been through some pretty serious stuff.
In 2011, October, we were working in our little vegetable stand that we had. And
the Moonstone Farm and Forest.
Yes. And I had had a couple little episodes that felt like heartburn over the weekend, and I took some Maalox, and it went away, and I thought that was fine. Monday morning, I got up, and I was doing okay. I went out to the mailbox, mailed some letters, walked back to the house, and I was... Suddenly, I had horrific pain. It was going up my neck and down my arms and in my chest, and I thought, oh, my heavens. And I couldn't get a hold of my husband, so I drove over to the the farm where he was.
I know how far it is, but how far would you, for people who don't know?
Just across the field, a couple of houses down. Like, it's not that far, but...
It's like if it were a city, like half a block maybe?
No, it's a good city block probably.
Okay, a block then.
But I drove over and I said, you need to get me to the ER right now. And he did. And I was suffering a massive heart attack. It's called a widowmaker. Most people don't survive it. And got to the hospital, and I insisted upon walking in. I was not going to be brought in through the emergency doors. I could still walk. So we went in, and they immediately put me in the room as soon as they heard. And they started hooking me up to the EKG machine to see what my heart rate was. And I coded right then and there. And from that point on, I have no memory. The nurse told my husband, who was in a state of panic by that time, that I would not remember anything. I coded, they brought me back, they did some more work on me, they called Life Flight to come get me, and in the meantime, I coded a second time there. And again, I got brought back. And then Life Flight...
The helicopter.
The helicopter came, and they took me to Plattsburgh, to the cardiac center there, and I coded again in the helicopter. So I coded three times, actually. I've since read that most people that code like that do not survive. And yet, I did. I did. I had good doctors. They put three stents in my heart. My artery was totally blocked. But I came home. I did some rehab. I started walking and exercising, and I was doing just great. And from that time until this past October, why is it October? I don't know.
The news came in the end of September.
But in October, I had biopsies done, and I had cancer.
Breast cancer?
Breast cancer. And this was the second time around for me because I had already had breast cancer on the other side almost 7 years before that. And I thought, I'm a survivor. I've had, you know, it's been over 6 years. I'm a cancer survivor, you know. So when I went for my mammogram, I thought, oh, this is just going to be a routine thing, you know, like I do every year. And they called me back. And they took more pictures, and they called me back and took some more pictures, and then they said, we need to do a biopsy. And then they said, yes, you have two tumors. They're definitely cancerous. So I was scheduled to see the surgeon and the oncologist and stuff. So then in October, I was operated on. I had a mastectomy, which went pretty good.
Yeah, you were done. We were there. My dad, my brother, and I went out to grab some lunch while you were in the surgery and got back before they said we should, but you were done when we got back.
I had a great surgeon. He was a wonderful guy, and he did a good job on me. But then before they would start the chemo, because of my heart, the oncologist was afraid to start me on this toxic chemicals is what they are. They're really toxic to your whole system, and they were afraid of what it would do in my heart. So I had to go through more tests, a heart scan and a bone scan and several more tests before. But then finally, the end of November, they started me on chemo. And it was brutal. It was definitely brutal.
Like you said, it's been brutal. You've been alternately very sick and very achy, and it's really, really hard to go through. Any number of people can certainly relate, because you're not alone in the world going through this, although I'm sure it can feel that way. What, if anything, keeps you positive? Why do you want to, keep pushing through?
Because my family, my husband and my children would be devastated, and more for them than anyone else, because actually when I was feeling so horribly bad, I thought, it might be better if I had just died. And then I thought of them and I said, no, it wouldn't be, because my husband would be so lost without me. He's such a good guy. He's been such a big help through all of this. And my children, too. They love me. They call me. They bring me gifts.
But you're doing this just for presents?
Well. No. But I want to live for quite a while longer and be around to enjoy my family.
We have other stuff to do. Let's wrap this up, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me again.
Oh, I enjoy it. I love talking about old times with you. It's good.
That was me, Sarah LaDuke, talking to my mom, Carolyn. Happy Mother's Day to her and all the moms, mothers, mommies, stepmoms, foster moms, and moms-to-be, and to everyone benefiting from the care they give. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
When you became my